why you do it. Later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
All righty, we are back tonight on this Wednesday night edition of the program, Uncensored Radio Free America. And my name is Rick Adams. And, well, tonight we have a very special guest with me who has been here a few times before. And I said now is the time to bring him back. He's been very busy. We spoke to him months ago, and he's had a busy summer. But he is never too busy to come on this program and discuss legal matters, constitutional matters with you, and the impending police state in America. And his name, of course, is Attorney John Klar, K-L-A-R, Klar. And, of course, he's written a book about George Bush's Christian rhetoric and unchristian deeds, and he is going to join me in just a moment, and then after the break, we'll open right up with some hard-hitting stuff tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, John Klar. Hello, Attorney John Klar.
Good evening, Rick.
Thanks. Good to have you back, John.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a while, and it's too long. And, you know, people who remember you being on several times, of course, you have contributed so much to our program in the way of understanding the Constitution and understanding the interplay between our Christian heritage and what's happening to America today. So that's a unique, combination there. And we enjoy it and we appreciate it because you were telling me privately, you know, you believe that the way we're going now with the economy, and we'll talk about it tonight, that we could very well see a police lockdown when this economic tsunami is consummated. I know that's the way you feel, and a lot of other people feel that way as well, John. So, hey, we'll discuss it, and we'll discuss the implications of it and what may be coming, and as well as what's going on near you and the Browns and the freedom movement across America, Ron Paul, many things to discuss. How's that?
That sounds terrific, Rick.
Right. And, of course, your book, by the way, you could tell people how to get your book right now, if you'd like, before the break.
Well, thank you, Rick, because I often forget to. My book, there's more information about my book, by the way, at my website at www.christianwords.us.
Yes.
And the book can also be purchased directly from my publisher at 877-421-7323.
Indeed it can. All right. And the number here to call in tonight is 800-313-9443. That is our magic number to get on the air with our guest tonight, John Klar, K-L-A-R. And, of course, we welcome your calls tonight on the program as we're going to be getting into the hard-hitting issues that we normally get into on the broadcast. So jump aboard and be persistent when you call. Don't hang up if you don't get an answer within 5 seconds. All right, stay on the line, and we'll get to your calls as quickly as we can, but be prepared to hold on a bit because there's a lot of territory to cover. All right, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio, right here at republicbroadcasting.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I live. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
The full title of the book, John. It's Christian Words, Unchristian Actions, George W. Bush, and the Desecration of Christianity in Modern America. And it shows George Bush's promises versus George Bush's ethics and his actions. And it contrasts what he has done, what he has advocated, what he has managed to pull off on the nation, and the fact that it contradicts everything that the scriptures teach us. So we have seen this tremendous swirl of criticism against Christianity. I would say more in George Bush's administration in the last 6 years or so than we have ever seen before because of that identification of the so-called Christian right with this administration and the faith-based initiatives and the whole program of Christian Zionism and so forth, John. So it is reflecting badly, and it does make Christianity look like a fool's faith, so to speak, and it is cause for a lot of, I believe, blasphemy in America today. A lot of people who really and truly are now encouraged that if George Bush is a Christian, they don't want to be anything like George Bush. And that, of course, is, as far as I'm concerned, what this administration has willfully and intentionally done. I believe they've deliberately lied, deliberately misled us on everything, including their alleged faith. So you can take the floor from here, brother, and let you know, let us know how you feel about it, and, of course, what we're expecting economically in these days.
Well, that's a mouthful. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's interesting as we talk here at this date. I mean, we have had the pleasure of talking together a number of times, but a lot has happened. And when the book came out last year, I've seen quite a transition. When I was writing the book and when the book came out even a year ago, March, it was considered an offensive insult to suggest that Mr. Bush was not a pious Christian. Mm-hmm. Now it seems to be sort of a foregone conclusion or stating the obvious. So the way that my very title and the way my book is received has changed as people, I think, have recognized the obvious, and to try to defend Mr. Bush based on his faith is a rather feeble exercise. But something else came out when you used the phrase Christian Zionism.
Mm.
And you're allowed to do that on the air. We're not being shut down.
Not yet.
What I have perceived is that George Bush has given Christianity and America's Christians a bad name. As things have evolved and as people continue to put their, and the religious right particularly, continue to put their head in the sand, as this administration embarks on a destruction not just of our Christian faith and our nation's reputation, but also of our very faith and the very mm-hmm. foundations of the faith that they say that they espouse.
Mm.
Is it really that George Bush has given them a bad name, or does George Bush really represent the errant form of Christianity that dominates modern Christendom in America? You know, the Christian Zionist movement, as you might call it. I mean, can we call it a movement? The warped theological perversion that leads millions of Americans to funnel billions of dollars and depleted uranium and carpet bombs to a nation that hates Christ and that hates Christianity. Now I'm speaking a little sharply there. I shouldn't say the nation of Israel hates Christ, but a nation whose policies have been very many times directly at odds with the Christian principles that we say as a nation we espouse. Their policies of destroying civilians when in so-called military combat. Who are really the terrorists? So it's interesting that maybe what Mr. Bush's hypocrisy is revealing is not just about a small, slender, errant form of Christianity, but something that's really much more widespread and more mainstream than we, even most of us Christians, realize. And we see that now in that the core of some 30% of Americans who still support him are pretty much still that religious right core that I try to reach with my book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we mentioned the economy because I mentioned something that I think is more and more pressing on American conscience. And for your listeners, who I know already are perhaps more than most in tune with the kind of vulnerabilities this nation faces right now financially,
mm-hmm.
economically.
They are, yes.
That's why I suggested we bring it together. But that comes together with this subject as well, because we as a nation of Christians, for Christians that are listening, but for Christian Americans, many as they see ourselves or we label ourselves as graced by God or chosen or favored by God, mm-hmm. while we turn a blind eye to what our nation is doing abroad and how that's making our Christian faith look, many Christians that are in that comfort zone are in the comfort of believing in the false American myth, in the American flag, in the American capitalist materialist dream, which is collapsing around their ears. And as the dollar fails, as the economy fails, as the government is shown to be a deceiver and an enslaver, not a constitutional servant of the people, then more and more of those people will hopefully be compelled to confront the kind of contrast that we see so blatantly obvious to anyone, to a Buddhist, to anyone of any faith, in George W. Bush and this administration, pretending mm-hmm. to be for freedom and justice and goodness and Christianity and doing the exact opposite. And thank you, sir, for allowing me my speech there, but you did have
No, that's question. Fine. I'm enjoying every minute of it. You're really sounding like a preacher and coming from an attorney. Hey, this is doubly, rewarding to me.
Well, but, the Apostle Paul was trained in the law, I believe.
Yes.
And so was Martin Luther. And troublemakers, yes. Both, I guess.
There you go. Now all you have to do is just knock the 95 theses on the door to the White House, and you'll be in one of those torture camps probably, right?
Well, I think that would be more than the White House even collectively could read.
Yeah, but then, of course, the White House doesn't torture, as you know. They don't advocate torture, and they don't allow it in this civilized great nation that we call a republic.
Well, sometimes that argument has been going on for some time, and I find it to be one of the more frustrating ones about whether or not we've tortured. I guess sometimes that's splitting hairs. The rest of the world certainly perceives that we have. The Muslim world certainly perceives that we have. Most of the world calls most of what we've done torture. As you know, I document in the book how it is that every method that we use at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and elsewhere, the methods that we have used that have been so controversial, are all identical to methods used by the Soviets in the gulags. We may not have tortured as many people, but we've used the exact same methods that we ourselves and our nation have decried in the Soviets and others over the decades. So there's a gross hypocrisy that is not lost on the rest of the world, even if it is foisted on the American people by this neoconservative barrage of media that they get, and the Glenn Becks and others who are constantly parading out the image of the person who knows about the ticking bomb and we need the information. Those are a lot of ifs. If you ever listen to Bush, too, you'll hear him talking about these are people. If we suspect that people may possibly have information that could perhaps lead to a terrorist attack, we're going to torture them. There's a big jump and a huge gap in our civil rights that's opened up between the actual theoretical case.
And you notice that George always uses the word terrorist, never suspects, never people that are accused of, quote, terrorism, unquote, but always the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, and our enemies, you know, that are all around us, and they're under beds, they're in closets, they're in ceiling tiles, they're everywhere. And so we have to do these things only to protect America, but we don't do them. We don't do them to begin with, but if we have to, we will. And, of course, I don't lie to the American public. I just overlooked telling them about the spy programs, the surveillance, the torture that was going on. But, you know, again, it was an oversight on my part. I was too busy increasing the federal deficit and the budget. So take that from Mr. Bush.
Well, we joke about lawyers, and we see in Mr. Bush a man who has absolutely no legal training at all. I mean, it can't hurt to know a little bit about the Constitution, whether one is a lawyer or not.
And he's taken his hand on that Holy Bible,
swore to uphold the Constitution that he has since called a goddamn piece of paper, excuse my language, and for cutting you off, but that's what you're going to say, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say it, but I understand.
No, but you were going to say that he took an oath to uphold that Constitution.
Yes, I wouldn't even say that. I don't think he's taken a real oath. I mean, he may have taken a satanic oath, and knowing George Bush, which God is he swearing on that Bible to? You know, the God of Moloch or the God of Isaac, Abraham? You know, I mean, is he Jacob? Is he really doing that? Quite honestly, you know, there are two gods. Hey, let's face it. It's which God do you worship? Which Jesus do you worship? The false or the true? And you know, that's what brings me to the point, John, that it's not the man that does not have any faith or does not believe that's dangerous. It's the man that says he believes and then does exactly the opposite of what he's commanded to do in the Scripture. So, you know, Satan believes, the Bible says, and he trembles. He's frightened because he knows his destiny. He knows his fate. But yet he's at no power. He has no power to stop that fate. To stop what's going to hit him, what's going to befall him. And yet, he believes. He believes. So if Satan believes, then no wonder all of these so-called Christians who say they believe the Bible from cover to cover, including the covers, as some of them used to say, you know, John Ockingay and Jerry Falwell and so forth, well, then we know that their testimony may be suspect, okay? I'm not judging them, because only God can do that. But I will say that by their fruits you will know them. And I think that their fruits, if I may say so, are quite bitter these days, John.
Well, anyway. You know I agree, and you're correct biblically, and we shouldn't judge people. And yet we often hear, particularly in the liberal side, we'll hear people say about, for instance, gay marriage, judge not, we shouldn't judge them. That's a different thing entirely. We are to judge sin. So yes. When we say we aren't to judge people, that doesn't mean we shouldn't judge their conduct or we should make excuses for the kind of conduct we see that this administration.
We have the break, John. Hold that thought. We will come back to that and much more tonight with our guest, John Clark, and his book, Christian Words on Christian Action.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bush. We're back, and certainly true words, undoubtedly. John Clark is my guest. And, John, I didn't wish to interrupt your wonderful speech there, but here we are back again. As you were saying from the scriptures...
Well, just that we should not let our resistance to judge people to lead us to be ignorant about judging actions which are harmful to our faith and to ourselves, and we need to have enough integrity as Christians and as Americans to stand up to those actions which are immoral or murderous or harmful to others. And, I mean, actually, as you were speaking, something you made me think of was how many times if you read about Hitler... How many times he professed a Christian faith and called Germany a Christian nation as he was dismantling its freedoms and enslaving its people, and privately chuckling about the ease with which he could lead them by the nose into slavery. There are a lot of parallels there. You're not allowed to say that in this country, and others will compare Iran to Hitler or to Germany, but there are a lot of parallels there, particularly to that kind of hypocrisy. And so I was just agreeing with you, Rick.
Yes. Well, in any event, the point of the scripture is not that we should not judge, but the scripture basically says, judge not unless ye are willing to be judged. That's the whole, if you read the entire scripture, that's what it means translated from the Greek. So that you may judge others if you are willing to place yourself under their judgment as well. So that you are judging them by their deeds and not by their appearance or not by their skin color or not by their name or identity there, but certainly by their fruits ye shall know them. The good figs and the bad figs, you see.
Well, and that's what I was agreeing with you on as well, because we're not only told, you know, that we should judge what is sin, we are cautioned repeatedly to watch for those who would mislead us, and we would know them by their fruits. This is an emphatic point of Scripture that both Jesus and Paul make over and over. Acts 20:29, I'm fond of quoting, in which Paul says that he cried for 3 years, day and night, trying to warn us that this would happen. Now, this seems to me to be a striking charge to us as Christians, and when we look at the face of Christianity today, when so many American Christians are using Romans 13 to blindly follow people like Cheney and Bush,
right?
They seem to be almost a fulfillment of that prophetic warning of people, because what does it mean? A wolf in sheep's clothing, that's referring to a ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing. Not that people will falsely follow Satan into evolution theory or follow Islam. This is about people following false Christians, anti-Christian Christians. And so that's why I really hit on the point that you made about the fruits. We are not only allowed to judge the fruit of our leaders and others, we are commanded to. It is imperative. If we are warned about how to avert disaster in end time and how to spread God's word in end times, and then we ignore it because we say, well, I'm going up in the rapture, and I'm supposed to, Romans 13, unquestioningly support my government, and Israel is the reformed promise of God, so let them blow up little Christian children, 500 or 600 of them, in Lebanon last year. This is a bizarre perversion of common sense that I think is that kind of false, ravenous wolf deception that we've been warned about, and this is how we know, by the fruits. And now we see our own government, whether it's by Bush or by the liberals, both parties working for the corporate interests and their paymasters that dominate us. And I know you agree with me on that too, Ray.
Well, yes, and there's no question that, you know, it's interesting you bring up the very verses of Scripture that occurred to me just the other day. Romans 13 that I was reading. As I was reading the Scriptures, I once again came upon that verse, and I said, oh boy, here we go now. Here it comes, time for improper exegesis, and how many ministers, even on Sunday morning, Sunday evening at services, prayer, Bible readings, studies, and Wednesday, Thursday night, whenever they have them, they're quoting this Scripture right now. And they're saying, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, and let everyone back George Bush, because George Bush represents God. He represents our leader, and our leader can do no wrong, you know? And, of course, they're preaching that. Not all, of course, but many are actually preaching that philosophy. And then they wrap it all up with saying, well, you support our troops, don't you? And that's a loaded question. Because, you know, I've been asked that question many times. Do you support our troops? And I tell them, yes, I support them right here in America. Right back home, get them back safely, and keep them here defending America, not Israel or oil or anyone else. But most importantly, I support the Constitution far above any man or any number of men or any military server or anything else. The Constitution must come before men. It must come before people. And when you take these wars, these unconstitutional wars, and basically all of them have been immoral right from the beginning of the 20th century, what we have done is we have used the power of the United States government to enslave, to take people out of their homelands. And we've seen that. We've seen that all the way through in the name of fighting communism and Nazism. The United States government has been, in fact, the greatest globalist enslaver of all. So let us come back to that, John. Quick break, and we have calls just ahead for you. John Klar, my guest. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back now. And I've been doing so much talking here, so I'm going to ask a few questions now, John. John Klar, my guest, and John, you, of course, personally went up or down to New Hampshire. You're in Vermont, and you went to see Ed and Elaine Brown when this whole thing started with them protesting against the government's income tax system and the verdict that was issued against them. And you were there. You videoed. You put the videos up on the web. And you, of course, wrote about them. You talked to them. You visited them. You supported them. And what in the world happened just last week, as we reported on the program, with the arrest of Ed and Elaine Brown? What in the world do you think really went on there?
Well, I hate to speculate, and I don't want to sound like a lawyer, but I mean, I really do hate to speculate. I don't really know. There's been kind of a blackout on it. I heard a rumor that some people that were government agents who were trusted by Ed and Elaine got access and took them peacefully. I haven't heard really anything else. I know that about a week and a half before that, I heard a news story, apparently, because I heard it from a few different sources, and I didn't hear it on the Internet. I heard it from people who had heard it on mainstream news, that they had been taken, and apparently they had not been. So there have been, as you know, a swirl of rumors surrounding the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I know there are also, apparently from what I read in the paper, there were some other people that were visiting them, perhaps supplying them with food, I don't know, that the police arrested just beforehand. So I think they weakened their support. My own, you asked me to speculate, my own suspicion is I wonder whether they made some arrests to cut off their supply of food if there was one there. I don't know how much food they had stockpiled at that point, and make them have to lean on people that were less well-known to them and perhaps scare off people, other people who might have lent them some aid or some support, even just their moral support. So they may have weakened them or undermined them that way and then sent in their plants or people that were not very well-known to them. I know
there were some arrests several weeks prior to this, as you know, some of the people who were supporting the Browns. And there were at least four of them picked up by marshals. I'm sure you're aware of that. And
that's what I had read.
We had one call in, the brother of one call in. So there was this attempt to start moving in on them. And quite frankly, I mean, I think we all expected it to happen. We're certainly grateful that nothing, as far as we know, has happened to the Browns physically or that anyone was killed. However, we know that there are certain things that lead me to believe that maybe the Browns were, for whatever reason, just a little bit too lackadaisical about who came in to their home. And you went up there, and when you first went there, did you just walk in, or did you just have an invitation? Did you go through a screening? Did you tell them you were coming? I mean, did they know it was you when you walked in and visited them several times?
Well, I think that it was not consistent. And at different times, at different visits, there were different levels of perhaps anxiety. The first time we went, it was very relaxed, and Ed was there alone. They did call out to us. He had a lot of supporters there at the time.
Right, the beginning, yeah.
And in the very beginning. Now, what was interesting about that, though, is that an onslaught of mainstream media showed up that day. So in answer to your question, none of those people were allowed access to the house. Ed kept them at bay. There were a couple of reporters there who I think were reporters, but Ed said, you know, you look like feds to me, and he kept them at bay, although he did talk to them a little bit. But there was quite a sort of a security set up there. Now, we were allowed in the house that day when everyone else had left just because I think through the channels through which I came to be in contact with them before I went down, they knew from other people, Rick Stanley perhaps and others, that I had been active in trying to highlight some of the issues about this government that Ed shared. You know, so we shared that philosophy. But if nothing else, they knew that we were just trying to objectively capture the moment and not trying to just get paid for some sensational airtime for 30 seconds on the evening news. And that's what we tried to do, and that's actually why after a while we then went again and we videotaped Ed again just before Elaine returned. We have never posted that video on the Internet. We may do that, but we have a bunch of footage there. And then we went a third time. We brought my 8-year-old daughter with us. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel any apprehension. So also in answering your question, though, Rick, there were people coming and going. The second time we went, there was nobody else there but Ed. And, of course, he knew us. So it was, but there were, he did seem to take some steps to try to know who people were. On the other hand, there are a lot of people coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
I think in that circumstance, it'd be very, very hard to not know who's who. And after a while, you know, it might just get worn down because what are you going to say? You're going to treat everybody who's there. Many have traveled hundreds of miles with distrust. You know what I mean? It's against their very nature to be treating the people that are there to support them with distrust. So it's a situation that's very, very easy for government agents to infiltrate.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we don't know the whole story, as you said, so we can't really speculate, honestly. We can just imagine or think of scenarios, but having said that, I will say that, you know, it's one of those things where when you take that kind of action, you know the government is willing to do everything it can to wait it out until the opportune moment, because the last thing, really, I think, the last thing the feds wanted and the Gestapo wanted, really, was to have any kind of incident that would draw attention to another Ruby Ridge-type incident. They can't afford that. And believe me, and I know you know it, John, that these government agents and these marshals today are really a little bit trepidatious about what can happen to them and what can happen to government agents when they start pushing too far. And the militia movement, after all, was largely a response to what the government had done. And we saw what they did in Waco, Texas. We saw what they're capable of doing. We saw that murder is absolutely nothing and elevated almost to a virtue in their handbook. And the FBI and its behavior, certainly at Ruby Ridge, was absolutely deplorable and despicable. So I believe that the government held the Trump card right from the beginning, and they knew that the time would come when they would sufficiently be able to weaken the resolve of maybe of Ed and Elaine, and if that was the case, that they let this thing happen without going down in flames as they originally predicted. And it happened. And, you know, it's going to continue to happen across America. And I think people are beginning now to reach the desperation point. I see people, I hear people all the time, and I'm not just making this up. I mean, I do hear people telling me that they are fed up and there's only so much more they can take. Now, the government knows that, and George Bush knows that, and the Pentagon knows that, and they've come up with plans, as you know, contingency plans, that in the event that there is any kind of real rebellion in any part of the country, hey, they're going to lock us down, man. I mean, this is what George Bush's dream really is, I believe, John. I mean, that's the way I'm seeing it right now. And with the economic tsunami that you're talking about, and you will continue to talk about, we haven't really gotten into it deeply, but yeah, these scenarios are all too reasonable, and
well, I think that's why Ed and Elaine, you know, potentially upset their plans or their agenda a little bit, because that was bringing too much high-profile attention to not just the tax issue, but Aaron Russo's film,
right?
And the movement of which I think Ron Paul is a sign of the increasing attention of Americans to alternative sources for media, like your program, but like many sources on the internet,
yes,
and elsewhere, because they realize that the mainstream media have been compromised by interests which are not friendly to their to their nation.
That's
and
right.
So, yeah, I do think that, you know, the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act and the other acts that we've talked about that give Bush and the federal government these broad sweeping powers are so broad that they do anticipate any number of potential disruptions that could be used to institute martial law. There seems to be little doubt that they intend to do that, or they wouldn't have passed these laws to do so. Katrina was a test run in how to use the military against civilian populations. It went well for them. The military are trained that they're there to help, and that anybody that's disrupting things or a threat to the nation, they are being reconditioned and untaught the very precepts of the American way of the U.S. Constitution. And that actually would be an interesting chat sometime about whether Romans 13 means that we ignore the Constitution. If Romans 13 means that we have respect for man-created laws that are not in conflict with God's laws, why do we not have any duty at all as American Christians under Romans 13 to our U.S. Constitution? It seems to me we have an obligation either under that theological construct to be holding our nation accountable, and our government is not. And that's why when you mention Waco and Ruby Ridge, the things that are perhaps most telling to me about those incidents are not just how abhorrent the crimes were of the government, but how unrepentant they were in the willingness they had to lie about it afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I feared they might have done something like that with Ed and Elaine.
Sure.
I have to confess that I was pleased that they were taken without violence.
Yeah.
Whatever their cause, Elaine's a sweetheart. Ed's a good person. There are a lot of sweet people, good people around them. I'm really glad that the government didn't pull one of those horrible traumas. But they've got a much bigger plan than that. I mean, and that's why we should talk about the economy.
Absolutely.
Because the government is not oblivious to what's unfolding in our financial markets and our housing markets. They're very aware of it, and they're always gauging it, and they have plans for us if that is the source of the disruption. But between that and Iran, I think we're on the eve of some major dramatic and drastic shifts in even a tighter police state in America.
Right, right. And, you know, Seymour Hersh's column in The New Yorker, you know, I don't always rely on him for accuracy, but certainly he sometimes manages to be right. And he was talking about the plans that have been put on the back burner a little bit for bombing Iran and the broad-based multiple targets of Iran into a more surgical, quote-unquote, strike with Iranian targets across the border. And, of course, everything, again, we have this armada, this tremendous force in the Persian Gulf. And there's no question that they're not going to sit there forever and just wait for an incident to happen. We have war hawks in the White House and in Washington, some in Congress, as you know, as well, that are just, you know, they just can't wait to see a flashpoint develop. And unfortunately, these people are so psychopathic, they haven't really concerned themselves with the aftermath of such a war. This is not going to be a cakewalk. And Iraq has not been a cakewalk either. But you can imagine the blowback, John, for the United States, if in fact there is an incident that they're planning, these insiders and globalists and neocons, it's going to be very bad. It's going to be very bad.
Well, you know I agree. Are we going to break right now? Or?
No, we still have some time.
Well, let me just tie that in a little bit, because what's an interesting parallel is Bush and the neocons did not stop their intended invasion of Iraq, which, you know, I document in the book. It's very, very clear. Mm-hmm. They intended that from Bush's very first cabinet meeting. Mm-hmm. Iraq was at the top of the agenda. Mm-hmm. When 9/11 occurred, whether or not the government was complicit, we can debate. But what's not open to debate is that 9/11 was used to justify a war in Iraq that had nothing to do with it. Just mm-hmm. like Ruby Ridge and Waco, this government seems less and less accountable all the time. Mm-hmm. The latest torture memos come out. Everybody's waving their fingers at the administration. Oh, bad, bad children. We're going to be angry with you now. And do what? Do nothing. This is not the era of Nixon, where there was accountability in our government mm-hmm. and political ideologies were set aside. This is a really corrupt system we have now, where we have no accountability. So Bush and his cronies felt that they didn't need to listen to the experts on the Middle East. They went into Iraq anyway. It's turned into a disaster. They had no plan other than their fantasy one about being greeted in the streets and et cetera. They had no contingency. They probably similarly fantasize that they can go into Iran and control the oil there and make Israel happy there. But they probably similarly don't realize the dramatic economic effect alone that the disruption of the oil supplies could have in this country. Or frankly, again, do they understand? I mean, the stupidity of Iraq was so monumental that you can't subscribe anymore to the fantasy that your government really knows what's going on and Big Brother's in charge and going to take care of you. This was a disaster of enormous proportions that is still unfolding. In Iran, you're right, would be exponentially more so. But look what happened in the 70s in the oil crisis. And now we're more dependent on oil and importing more of our oil and consuming more oil and building bigger houses and bigger cars. That's why the economy in Iran, I think in many ways, are tied very much together anyway. Because if we do...
In 73, we could withstand it. We can't withstand it today. The housing market is flat. It's collapsing. Mortgages, of course, are going belly up. We're seeing the financial institutions now beginning to fold up as well. We know this is no accident. And you know, Roosevelt himself said, in politics, when things happen, they're not done by accident. If they happen, they were planned that way. And sure enough, that is exactly what has been done to us today. And I believe that, you know, this embassy, the $600 billion or whatever million-dollar embassy, the largest in the Middle East that's being built here, with all of its flaws and all of its failures that are coming out now, you know, it's obvious that we're not there to cut and run, as Mr. Bush says. We're not there to, quote, bring democracy and love to the people of Iraq and then just leave. They're not going to take our boys home. Our boys and girls are not coming home. They're there to stay as part of this military expansion. And this is the hallmark of an empire that's beginning to crumble. This is history repeating itself, you know, unfortunately.
Well, you're exactly right. And any people, any military personnel, of especially of any rank, will tell you that that's the case. And if you look at where our bases are around the world, there's a startling collection around oil resources. Oil is stored energy. Oil is black gold, and oil does have a lot to do with it. But it also has to do with, I think, as you suggest, a declining empire trying to maintain its waning hegemony in you know, a region of the world that's so volatile. But we've been meddling there for 60 years, and the you know, we've already overthrown Iran's democratically elected government once, and now we're going to add insult to injury by continuing the insult upon them. In fact, we've created much of the environment that is that has allowed Muslim extremism to grow. Right. By creating that vacuum there in the name of protecting the area from communism, which is, again, a show so that we could further our military and industrial and corporate interests.
You're right. And then the CIA and NSA, of course, are largely involved in internal subversion in Iran right now. Many of the so-called dissidents you read about and see in these demonstrations against the government and Ahmadinejad, of course, are orchestrated by the CIA. So this is all confirmed now. I mean, this is part of the plan. The average American isn't aware of it. Don't think about it. All they see is a madman in Iran. All right, we'll be back, and we'll start taking calls for John Klar, my Christian attorney guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Haven't you got any respect for this town? I just lost it.
Indeed we have. All right. And the town is Washington. Well, here we are with John Klar, my guest, and we appreciate the fact that John is going to take some phone calls. And let's start right now, John, all right? Let's take
a
call. How about Ernie in Virginia first off? Hello, Ernie. You're on with John.
Thank you, Rick. Hi, John. I'd like you to think back for a moment. After the 2006 election, the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, took impeachment actions against the president off the table. And recent actions since the Democrats have gained control in the House and the Senate, the hate crime legislation, the push for the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea Treaty by the Democrats with the Bush administration, and the Supreme Court case today, in which Bush is pushing the World Court or the UN's International Court of Justice against the state of Texas, and without his legal background, as you pointed out, he doesn't have a legal background, but yet he wants to provide a dictum to the state of Texas to overturn their decision to use capital punishment against this murderer of two Texas citizens for very vicious crimes. And then you combine that with recent actions by the House and the Senate, amendments or resolutions against Iran, the Revolutionary Guard, calling them potentially a foreign terrorist organization, and by big margins, 76 to 22, I think, in the Senate, and in the House it was even bigger margin, 397 to 16. So I see this more than just President Bush alone. I see this as an action by both the Congress and the Senate working with Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had a majority party control, he attempted less things to undermine the national security and our sovereignty. So I see this as a joint effort. And one last point. I saw Jimmy Carter today talk about crimes of torture by this administration. And yet when he was asked by Wolf Blitzer, should the president be prosecuted later? He said no. So what gives? What do we have here? Do we have President Bush working with this with the Democrats in step? Do we have a treasonous action by both parties combined with this administration to undermine the American people and our national sovereignty?
Well, may I respond, Rick?
Yes, go right ahead.
Thank you. Ernie, thank you for your thoughts and for your passion and for sharing so much information in such a succinct way. I think everybody benefits. And trying to answer, because you've raised a couple of points, but to try to bring it together, I feel very strongly, and I argued in my book very strongly, in my book I criticize Bush, and I'm not trying to plug my book right now, but to point out that in the book I'm not a liberal, I'm a conservative. And I'm trying to point out to Americans that neither of these parties are serving us. So you're absolutely correct. Yes, Pelosi shovels it under the rug, which maybe just has to do with her worrying about her future political career if she's viewed as having tried to unsuccessfully impeach the guy. I mean, it's that cynical. People are that short term in their attention. They only care about their personal careers. It seems, you know, by and large, I mean, obviously there are Ron Paul and others. There are some good, hardworking people out there. But this is more than just gridlock. We have both parties being paid for, because they get their campaign contributions, the large corporate interests that are really pulling the strings and really dominating us. It's about time for Americans to realize that the whole debate and the whole big battle about a so-called liberal media versus the neocons and the so-called, you know, conservative media, that whole blue-red debate is itself a watch the birdie kid distraction to keep us away from the real issues, which is, it's really in a way about class war, because it's about money, and it's about the large corporate interest and the large Zionist interest in this nation consolidating their wealth and keeping us off guard so they can continue to consolidate also their power. That's what I see. I don't see Hillary Clinton being any much different. I don't see her rolling back the many federal changes in laws which have consolidated federal power at the expense of states.
Can you hang on, guys? We'll be right back.
It's true.